Welcome to an episode of Meredith with a Y. I am your host, Meredith Willits, and today I have an exclusive interview with Irene Wood. She is the founder of The Fields, a luxury glamping resort located in her hometown of South Haven, Michigan. The Fields has been recognized in Condé Nast, Travel and Leisure, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, and the National Geographic. Can you handle this? And so stay with me because this is going to be a great conversation. Hello, everyone. This is Meredith with a Y, and I am your host, Meredith Willits. Today, we are going to go deep, changing lives, and I am giving you the keys to the castle. Irene, thank you so much for being here live from Michigan.
I was hoping it was going to be live from New York. That just sounds so much better than live from South Haven.
Live from South Haven. And, you know, the fact of the matter is you are on this podcast today because this was your damn idea. This series, I'm having all the women I know that are doing amazing things on the podcast, which you and I talked about back in like, what, December-ish, that I should do this. And so here we are doing it. And you get to be like my star of the show so we can talk about The Fields and all the things that you're doing and how you created The Fields from a field. So tell my listeners what's going on over there.
Well, first, I'm so glad that I get credit for something. So I'll take credit for the fact that I'm sure it had something to do with, and I'm not going to say it was over wine because I'm loving your sober journey, but I do know that all great ideas come from evening with friends. Yeah. So just like this female podcast where you're bringing girls in and you're chatting with them about all the awesome, wonderful things that they're doing, that's exactly what happened when we were thinking about doing The field. So I have friends, well, you know them, Catherine, Anna, where I'm like, I have this really crazy idea. I think that I should put tents in the middle of a blueberry field and host parties and friends. It'd be a great idea. And they were all like, yeah, that sounds amazing. Which in hindsight, did it sound amazing or were they just being really sweet? I'm not super sure. Right. But 6 years later, here we are. So like every good story, especially every good story with females and their journeys, it all starts with even better girlfriends encouraging them. So yeah. I have a circle of friends. They all encouraged. We break ground. We start The Fields. They show up for photo shoots. They act like they're supermodels. They're in magazine covers because, you know, at that time you don't have a PR team and hiring miles. So you're like, all right, friends, bring some outfits. We're going to have a photographer. We're going to shoot you. And to this day, it's so sweet to see some of them on some of those magazines.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that, okay, you're one of what is the top 10, what was it in Condé Nast? I mean, this is insane. Like that is an international publication. Like that's nuts.
Yeah, that was a little unnerving. So it was like the year of COVID, top 21 places to see in 2021. And we were listed.
I mean, what? And
I was also like, no, not yet. Right. Because there's so much pressure to that. Like there's so much pressure to awards or notoriety or publicity or, you know, it doesn't allow you to be kind of sometimes the simple, sweet, honest, authentic business person product that you want to be because you're a persona that you have to show up because somebody gave you a thumbs up and you're like, oh my God, the imposter syndrome, do I measure up to what that is? Does this area measure up? And, you know, I was, and you've gone with me to Aspen, but I was just in Aspen the last 2 weeks and I thought, what is it about this place that makes it where all the billionaires want to be? Mm-hmm. And all of the, it's just because it's been incredibly branded. I mean, it's beautiful, but there's other beautiful places. And so I think that that's where some of those pressures of some of the publicity comes where you're like, oh man, am I measuring up to the brand's persona and what people expect of it? Because expectations are big.
And I don't think people understand, like, glamping, you know, like a lot of people, if you've never been glamping, it is really a blend. So I've been to the fields a couple times now, and it's a blend between being outside and, you know, having a glass of wine, sitting around the fire, having a cup of coffee right out of your tent in the morning, but also having a bathroom and a shower in your tent with the most amazing linens and sheets, you know, the blankets and the mattress and just all of the, you know, blankets and all the things that you bring, the toiletries that are there, the candles that are on property, just the whole vibe. Parking, it sounds stupid, but like parking on the mulch with the fence and driving through the blueberry fields, like there's a vibe. So like when you pull on property, it literally falls off of you. All of the things that happened on the drive there in the morning, trying to pack the month before arriving at the fields, like as you drive over the mulch, it sounds so dumb, but I can't even articulate it enough. Yeah. Everything falls off.
Yeah.
Right? Everything falls off. Like, and I'm sure you even have that in the morning when you go to work.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was interesting because, you know, hospitality, in my mind, they always say, and what is it that carpentry, not a sex worker, what is it called? Like the women, you know, back in the day, the brothels.
Oh, right.
You know, like carpentry, brothels, and hospitality are the oldest form of industry, right? There was mm-hmm. always somebody moving from one location to the next that needed a place to stay and be taken care of. And so I think that this is gonna sound a little woo-woo, but is actually in our cellular DNA. It's in our DNA to kind of really caretake people along their journey. Now, in my case, the guests that I have, their journey is for 2 or 3 days in the midst mm-hmm. of, you know, a crazy hectic schedule. And they just want to be held in that space where all of those kind of branded pretenses are removed. And they're able to just kind of sit around a campfire, connect, and have fun. And so when I thought about how I was going to formulate my value system for hosting, I was going to do it in the same manner that I love to be hosted, but also had really been formed and groomed with friends. And that is, when you are with me and you're spending time with me on property, like we are making eye contact. I know your kids' names. I know your dog's name. And I'm meeting you exactly where you are. If you need high touch, our team is trained to do that. If you need no touch, like you really just want to be left alone, read a book, be quiet, engage with whoever you're with and just really be in a comfy space, great. If you're there and you're like, I'm actually coming by myself or I'm coming with a girlfriend, but we want to meet other people, we can sense that and help build the community for your duration that's there. You know, I don't ever see hosting, whether it's having friends over at a house or it's going to dinner or it's hosting guests at the fields as a transaction. Like I don't see it as a commodity where we're making an exchange for something. I really do at my core feel like it is guests are there actually for me. I mean, I know I'm supposed to be there for them but I'm like, really, no, you're part of my story. Like, I'm so excited that you're here. I get to meet 40 new people and I get to hear 40 new stories and I get to watch 40 new life events. And it's like my own frame into humanity at its very best. Yeah. And then I think also we have just over the last 5 years curated a particular type of guest. And it's somebody who is kind. They are thoughtful. And I don't want to use the word engaging, but they have warm eyes. They're not like vacant stares, right? You're like, right. If I walk by somebody, I can see them. And I think that is what makes it so unique. So setting aside some of the fun stuff, and I really have tried to not get wrapped up into the Instagrammable. I'm an Instagram influencer. I'd love to come on your property and take pictures. I'm like, that is exactly the opposite of what I want to do here. I want you, I want to see you as a human, not as a character. I want to engage. I want you to engage with others and this space as a human, not as a character. I want you to, you know, feel playful, look at the stars, you know, roast a marshmallow, savor in the smell of a campfire, sit on a dewy chair, like all those things that are remind us of kind of younger, more innocent times, and then refresh it. That's kind of where I call it kind of the field way.
I think that's funny though, because as you're talking about this and you're like, I've curated, or we have curated this type of person, I think that your energy and the field, quite honestly, create that character from when they find you, wherever that is, by way of, you know, referral or by way of the photos on Instagram, because you've had weddings there, couples, anniversaries, birthdays, proposals, you name it. I mean, her Instagram is stunning in itself. I think that your space, even if that person normally isn't like that, Irene, I think that they're allowed to be that person. They're allowed to be soft. And I'm going to give you an example. I used to go every single month and go to like sound bowls and Reiki and all that stuff. I had to stop going because I was going there as a respite. And every time I would go there for the first 20 minutes, the practitioner would dump on me. And I'm like, bro, like I'm literally paying you money to come here and have someone carry me for an hour. I need someone to hold me for an hour, right? And so I just got my eyebrows done the other day and this woman held me in her space and didn't ask anything of me, didn't dump on me, didn't tell me how bad her day was or how rough her morning was. And literally having this woman hold me and my energy in her arms literally for 2.5 hours, it was the most amazing hug blessing moment. And I think that that is what you're bringing, is a place where you're literally holding people. Like you want the, you want s'mores package delivered to you. You need wine. You need a birthday cake. You need flowers for your wife. You need, you know, XYZ for your whatever. Because in this day and age, you know, you go to Target and as you're checking out, they're going back and forth about what time their break is, when they finally get off work. Like there's very few, tell me I'm wrong. There's very few places that we can go and be completely held without the exchange of like, okay, I have to listen to your problems because you're in front of me. No, the field literally holds you from, like I said, the beds to the chairs to all of you. People are allowed to put their guard down and be held. And I think that's very rare in this society, be it at a restaurant, at a store, at a hotel, or anywhere, that we just get to get cared for a solid 72 hours. That never happens. Forget it. Doesn't happen.
Well, you're talking about, and this will come up with like, everybody knows my pet peeves. And part of them are just for some of those things that you talk about. So as an empath, which is probably very easy to see, I get so anxious around when people are fighting, when I can feel tension, or if there's lots of noise, it gets noisy when I want it to be quiet. I have some quirks. I'm quirky. So in those ways, I assume that there's other people that are quirky like me too, or not quirky. They maybe can't articulate why something's bothering them. So, you know, when you go to a restaurant, I always talk about my least favorite spot to sit in a restaurant is near the server station. Like, why would anybody in a restaurant put two chairs next to a server station? I'm hearing everything that they're talking about. I'm watching them like lick their fingers after touching plates, then touching mine. It's next to a trash bin. Like there's just too much going on that I would rather leave the restaurant than get that seat.
100%.
I also don't love it, like you described. You're at Target and that those people are, you know, I don't want to say the bagger because they've gotten rid of that, but you know, the cashier yeah. and the cashier next to them, or even better yet, the cashier who's got the earbuds in and isn't even paying attention to you because they're having a conversation with, you know, whoever they need to have a conversation with.
Or arguing with the manager about who gets the next break. And you're like, this is not my problem. None of this.
Well, I think that we're in a, and I think that that kind of goes to, not to make this shift, but I think that just kind of goes to where we are as a culture.
Yeah.
We're a very combative culture. We really love, not love, we're actually really broken to think that we need to thrive on all of that chaos, the noise, the busyness, the speed, the and maybe it makes us feel heard. Maybe it's just a level of conditioning. But I think for me, the fields is actually where my husband will say, God, you work so many hours. Aren't you exhausted? I'm like, actually, it's 16 hours of silence. Like if we have a lot of chaos going on, then we're not doing something correct. And I think that that's really, you know, in hospitality, they'll talk about it all the time. It's, you're like a duck. You're smooth on the top but paddling like hell. And I think that whether it's restaurants, whether it's at home, whether it's doing it for others in a hotel, to be really good at that effortless work is actually the key for guest enjoyment.
Yeah. And you switched it up over at the Fields too. You used to be family all the time, and now you have certain times when it's like kids are allowed, but the primary right now is adult only. Is that still where we're at?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know,
I agree with that. You know why? Because not everyone raises their kids the same way. Like, you know, I'll go to TJ Maxx at 9 o'clock at night and there's kids still out that are 4 years old, and you get why these kids are psychotic. Like they want to go home. They want to go to bed. They haven't eaten yet. And so I'm there trying to like, you know, just, you know, browse, and these kids are psychotic. So like, I love the fact that you did that. Are they
also sleeping on a marshmallow and with drinking it down with a Kool-Aid too? It's like, there's a lot of things going on.
There's a lot of factors that go into that.
Listen, I'm not going to be a judgmental parent. I was just having this conversation with the kids and they were like, we grew up on Hamburger Helper. I was like, hell yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work. Like I needed something that was always in the fridge that could be made fast because I was exhausted. But
fast and cheap.
I digress.
Save a lot in Aldi's. That's what I survived. My kids survived on 99-cent pizzas. There is such a thing. It's Save a Lot, 99-cent pizzas. You and I are both single moms. You're a single mom of three kids. I'm a single mom of two kids until we got remarried. So we have a lot. We have a lot in common. We come from very similar backgrounds.
I see you there. I had three. So like maybe it was harder for me. Can I just say that it was harder for me?
Sure. Have at it. You were younger than me too. I wasn't a mom till I was 23. You were younger than that even, right?
I mean, don't judge a teenage mom.
No. 19. But I'm just saying, like, it's not easy. And now you're like in Condé Nast magazine and National Geographic. I mean, stop it.
Which is, and again, if you saw, I mean, obviously we share the same friends. You see, I mean, it's hilarious to, there are moments where I'm like, I should relish in it, and I need to relish in it, because if I'm not, I'm being dismissive of it. And I have a daughter that if I'm dismissive of it, that somehow I'm either showing I'm embarrassed of it or I'm showing that it doesn't have significance. And I was thinking of Taylor Swift. And the reason I was thinking of it, it was a woman who was saying to moms and dads, and she was reminding them, like, your daughter is idolizing Taylor Swift. She's like, and when you dismiss her by saying, you know, she shouldn't be at a football game, you're showing that she should be placed in certain lanes. And so, while I'm not Taylor Swift, what I am is a mom to children and a daughter. And every time I try to diminish something, I keep thinking to myself of that story. Like, am I doing something that somehow that diminishes the light that maybe my kids see me in, and I'm not allowing it for my own reason. So there is some silliness to it, and there is some brevity when you're with girlfriends and, you know, I don't have two the same shoes on, or as we were talking about today, I've got something going on where half my lip is falling off. I don't know what's happening. Or I haven't showered in 2 days. I mean, there's the honest part that everybody sees, but then there's also this part that says, you know, we collectively, and I like to say this as women, we collectively as women are for the first time, and I want to use this as first generation because my mom wasn't, we're paving the way for our children and predominantly our daughters to not look at it and go, I'm going to run my own business and I'm going to be the first in my family. It's like, no, I'm the sixth generation entrepreneur of my family. And just like I'm the first generation of my family to go to college. What I love about this entrepreneurship journey, whether it's with the fields or anything else, is what it is doing for all the girls behind us, my daughter's friends, who are all watching. And yeah, that responsibility, talk about hosting responsibility, that being that poised, that proud, that supportive female, that the other girls can see as mentors, supporters, investors, right? They can see us as that. That's actually the legacy. The fields is great. The legacy is what we're doing and really what we're doing for our daughters and their friends. To me, that's the big picture.
I think that you're missing something huge here in that statement, is that you're also showing a woman like myself the possibilities. Like, your mere existence, and this is not like kissing your ass, this is honest. And that's, I've talked about that in Where We Live in general, is watching women, watching a woman like you, seeing you on the cover of, you know, this magazine and all of these publications, you know, and you and I have laughed about, like, you know, buying stuff from Goodwill and, you know, spoons and forks and putting it all together and making it happen and going to, you know, resale shops to get really cool eclectic stuff for the fields. And like, we have these conversations of how it comes together. And you have to remember too, that there are women that are older than you, that are your age, that are 5 minutes younger than you, that are also watching you. This isn't just the 20-year-olds and the 16-year-olds. This is the 50-year-olds and the 60-year-olds that are going, wait a minute, I still have a chapter left in me, or maybe 10 chapters left in me. And hey, if she can do it, you know, maybe I can do at least some of it, you know, like, wait a minute. And then you're also a go-to person to say, okay, how are you doing it? And I think women don't gatekeep, at least the cool ones, the cool chicks, don't gatekeep how you're doing it, what you did. Like you said, like, I was sitting around like over a napkin and the fields kind of was born. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. And that's a great idea. And then let me do some research. Like, I think the cool things about women is that we realize that it's not a pie that a piece can be taken from. It's limitless. There's limitless opportunity. Yeah. There's limitless ways to create, and there's tons of space to do these types of things. But please understand that this almost 52-year-old is very much watching you and learning from you and being inspired from you by you, because not only did she create, this is why I called it an exclusive, by the way, because I'm her friend, I've traveled with her, but I'm still an incredibly fangirl of her. Not only did you create the field in a blueberry field, you're now even blowing it up even more with an architect and a designer and a swimming pool. So tell us where we're at with the field project right now. Cause of course it wasn't enough being in National Geographic. Now we have to go to a whole nother level.
I know, this is kind of back to that obsessive part of me. So today you're actually catching me on a day where I was like, and for anybody who ever is thinking about doing a business, these days come more than you think, right? I'm like, I may have bit off more than I can chew. This one's a little tougher. So I want to back up and just say this. I remember very pivoting, whatever that word is. I remember
pivotal moment.
Very vividly there was a moment of time where my perception of my ability to be able to do things changed. And it starts with, I used to work before I had this job, I was an engineer for a pharmaceutical company. So my job was, marketing would come and they would say, hey, there is, and I'll use this as an example, Viagra is coming off of patent. We want to be the first generic to market. Irene, I need you to take the recipe from the pharmacist and I need you to figure out how to manufacture it and make it. So I would have to figure out how to actually make it so that it would be able to be consumed. And I just brought up Viagra because I think that that's a fun drug to talk about. Because then the story gets better. As I was making it, I would be like, babe, do you want to try some? And he'd go, are you kidding me? You're in trial. I'm like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen?
Stop it. You're fine. So,
no. Yeah. I'm like, you'll be great. That'll be great.
Fine.
So, but at lunch, there was a house. And in the back of the house was a little restaurant. And the woman only cooked one thing. So you would pay $5 and you would get whatever she made for the day. And she was Italian. And I swear to you, every meal that I ate there, I was like, this is literally the best lasagna I've ever had. This is the best blah, blah, blah. This is so one day, and I'm enamored with her. I'm like, who can cook like this? So she walks by and she's so busy that she's like not warm, but not cold. She's just busy.
Focused. So I call it focused.
Yeah. I was like, Marie, this is, I come here every day and this is the best food. I wish I could cook like you. I really wish I could cook like you. And she turns. She's like, can you read? And I was like, yes. Yeah. Then you can cook. And like walked away. And I remember thinking, yeah, I mean, it can't be that easy, can it? Like, it can't just be as easy as just reading. That's not the secret to life. And actually it is. It's reading and practicing and reading and practicing and reading and practicing. And so today, I am in the process of expanding the fields and in the
process
of it,
as she starts to itch your neck. You're probably just listening to this on the podcast, but if you're watching it, she's like, and I'm in the process today. It starts. Been there. So, sorry. Keep going.
So last night, a friend of ours, Nikki, had a birthday and we stayed up too late, but I needed to be back into Michigan for a 8 a.m. framing kickoff meeting. 5 framing crews coming in to review the plans to start framing so we can meet this timeline. And it's pouring rain. Did you have that huge storm? Like 40 mile an hour, I'm driving me white knuckles and it's raining. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, why am I doing this to myself? I could literally be sitting at home warm and snuggly in a bed and have made an excuse not to make it because it was raining, but I don't. I show up soaking wet, prints are spread out. You know, 5 guys are standing around with their arms folded, like, I don't know how we're going to build this. And I thought to myself, like, this was the moment where I was like, I mean, okay, you don't either. So you're going to have to fake it until you make it. So I'm like, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. So nobody's going to talk but me and we're going to work through this. And when we hit a question, we're going to stop. We're going to get an answer and we're going to work our way down. And I need a framed cottage by Thursday for approval to make sure that we're doing it correctly. And then the rest of them, we're going to go. You have 1 week to complete one. And I thought to myself, what in the hell? And why are you doing this to yourself? Because you don't have to. And I came to the conclusion, I do know why. It's because I want a better product for guests. I felt like I hadn't given them my best yet. So Catherine, which you know, she always jokes because she was like, oh, you're a good girl. You got an A today. Like, I love that. I love a good grade. I love knowing that I did my best. And I'll even strive for it in the weirdest of ways. Like earlier when you were like, Well, I had 2 kids younger. I'm like, well, I had 3. It was harder and I did better. No, I'm kidding. And so I want to give guests not good. I don't want to give them good. I've been giving them good. As good as I could give them with as much as I knew. Now I know better. I need to give better. And so this is me maintaining my personal level of perfection and my internal value. Like that when I know better as a friend,
better.
As a wife, mom, I'm to do better and to give better. And so I reflected at the end of last season and I said, am I quietly, what's the grade I'm going to give myself for the product, the delivery? I'm like, is it an A? Is it an A plus? And if it's not, then I got to go back to work. And so that's how that has always been my internal barometer. And I use the saying my dad says all the time. And if anybody knows me, they know I've used it in a conversation with them once or twice before, is if you cut a corner, you're going to get caught. So like if you, in everything, if you're on a diet and you're not supposed to have something, but you do, you're going to get caught. If you're speeding on a highway and eventually you're going to get caught. And so I have just said one area of my life that I'm not going to get caught is the promise of the delivery of a value. And that value is to give people, personal and professional, my best. And I know what that is.
Yeah.
And so I hold myself accountable to that. So how I'm going to do that is this year, we're going to convert some of these over to cottages. And of course, when I was like, well, who's going to design the cottage? I'm like, who's the best? So we hired D Space. They're out of Chicago, award-winning, a little bit more on the modern side, but I wanted something that was outside of my comfort zone because everything that I have is like Magnolia Home, kind of Chip and Joanna Gaines. And I was like, you know, that's for one customer, but am I representing others? And I thought, I can't naturally do it. So let's go find somebody who can do it. So D Space has designed architecturally these cottages that when you look at them from the field, the blueberry field, they're going to look like butterflies in the back. So the way that they're designed. And then I went, okay, well, who's the best interior designer? And so there were a number to choose from and they've been guests before, but I don't know. I'm going to name drop here as if, you know, she's like my friend on speed dial. Sarah Sherman Samuel. She is Architectural Digest's hottest designer, lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is just hop, skip, and a jump away. She does the product lines for Lulu in Georgia. She's in every magazine you ever see. She looks like a supermodel, but she is the sweetest and kindest woman. And she is an incredible mom. And I thought, I'm also at the stage where I'm only going to do work with incredibly kind people. And so she is designing the interiors of them, like furniture, fabrics, windows, light fixtures. And then we thought, well, people are going to want to be on site a little longer. What should we do? We got to put a pool in. So we have a pool, cottages.
And a spa was new last year too, because I haven't seen the spa yet, but you did add a spa last year. I hadn't seen it yet. Yeah.
Yes. We had a massage therapist, but then this year we were adding a facialist.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think that's like that so.
I'm not a big facialist. I clearly need
give me a facial over a massage any day, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's so, my thing. I think it's more relaxing.
Yeah. So I think that that's what we have. That's what the Fields has this year. And then, you know, we've talked about, you know, I have to actually push against what we have all been conditioned to think, which is more and more and more and more and more, bigger, 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 more sites, more locations, more this. And what I've really come to learn is that I love this one location. I would love for people to have like, let's say Meredith has land in Indiana and she's like, I want to do the exact same thing, but I want it to be my fingerprint, but I don't really know how to do it. But I would love in my dream world to support 49 other women to do it in their own state for a total of 50. Like, I have the fields of Michigan, you have the fields of Indiana, Susie Q has the fields of, you know, Wisconsin, Catherine has the fields of South Carolina, and then everybody has their own stamp on it under the kind of the brand umbrella. Because the things that are harder, like merchandising, legal, accounting, payroll, the things that nobody really wants to sink their teeth into, which we have a very strong grasp in, but they want to do things like, oh my God, I think it would be so fun to, on Friday, pick up guests and take them to their space and host them all weekend. And that's what I can't replicate. I can replicate what a structure looks like. I can replicate what a food menu looks like. I can replicate, you know, payroll, accounting, marketing, advertising, legal. I'm trying to think of all the other like behind the scenes stuff, but I can't replicate
all the stuff that nobody wants to do. They just want to like cut and color and paste and talk to people.
Yeah,
and
they can't. And there's a whole world of people that don't want to cut and color, and all they want to do is sit behind a desk and do this.
Yep.
And so, I'm like, gosh,
it kind of reminds me of Marriott's Moxie brand. Yeah. So Moxie, you know, that's like in Denver, it's one vibe. In New York, it's a very different vibe. I was down in Miami's, it's, you know, Miami, and so it's the same label. But like, if you go to a Courtyard, it's a Courtyard, it's a Courtyard. But Moxie takes on the vibe of the space that it's located in. And I love that idea.
The location or the owner or, exactly.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to book, let me ask you this. If someone wants to book, what is your considered open date, closed date? Because you're only open in like the summer-ish months.
Yeah. I mean, I try to keep it in great looking seasons, because it doesn't feel right to take people's money if things look like they do now. So this year, just because I needed to get like 2 extra weeks just in case we're coming in hot, which we're going to come in hot anyway. I mean, what project doesn't come in hot?
Oh, forget it. I mean,
which is, again, mine scratching my neck. But we have May through October. Mm-hmm. Unless we see that the leaves are going to peak a little later, because sometimes, you know, we have 2 weeks plus or minus. So if I saw that, man, we're going to have some really good leaf coverage in November, I would stay open through November, the first or second week of November, but then we're done.
Yeah. I mean, everything's kind of shifts, right? Which, by the way, before we go, I just have to let you know that Catherine Lewis commented on Facebook that you got an A+ today. And a couple other people is talking that she would like that. So she is giving you your grade. You're done for the day. Go put your pajamas back on. You've already gotten your A+ for Catherine. So thank you for that, Catherine.
See, girlfriends. God bless girlfriends.
God bless girlfriends. As you've told me, that girlfriends are the people that you choose to have in your life. And so, you know, there's lots of people that are making, Tiffany is making some nice comments, and my friend Mickey Pritt, and everyone is just saying how relatable we are. If you haven't seen the Fields of Michigan, please go follow on Instagram. Breathtaking. Everything from, like I said, weddings to engagements to birthdays to just a weekend at the Fields. It is in South Haven, Michigan, which is the western side of southwest side of Michigan. You're about two hours from Chicago. You're right next to Lake Michigan. You can ride your bike to Lake Michigan from the field. Yeah. So it's super conducive to even spending time at the beach during your visit. She will show up, understand. This isn't sorted. She has trays for s'mores. She just doesn't just give you a bag of marshmallows and some chocolates. It's a whole tray. It's a whole, everything at the Fields is a moment. It is a moment like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. And from the minute that the rubber leaves the road and hits the driveway up through the blueberries, you are allowed to drop your shoulders, relax your jaw, relax your hips and be present and connect with nature, with yourselves. you know, bring a journal, sleep late, do whatever it is that you want to do. And Irene and her team, from food yeah. to water to booze to, you know, breakfast and muffins and everything's fresh and all the things. Irene and her staff.
It's kind of like an outdoor bed and breakfast. Like, that's just the best way to describe it. An outdoor bed and breakfast where you're hosted. I would also say, and while I'm very selective of, no, I'm not selective. I love everybody and all things, and I love to connect with people. But I think sometimes, too, people just want somebody to chat with. So I'm always like, well, just get up early and let's have coffee and let's chat. Like, tell me what you want. People just want somebody to talk to.
I think that you're very right. And I talk to people about this. I talk to people about this a lot. You know, the self-checkout aisles are not doing us any favors. They really aren't. You know, as much as I want to complain about, you know, the person that complains about when their next break is, it also was really nice to like make eye contact, because I will literally go weeks and days with only talking to my family, because I'm a solopreneur. I'm in my house doing my thing, you know, outside of if I have an interview for my podcast or a client. But to make eye contact in this day and age, like, I think a lot of people think they want to be left alone, but when it comes right down to it, their energy raises as they actually talk to people and they're in a safe space, and you bring that. And, you know, like Tiffany just said, Stoika says, thanks both of you ladies for paving the way for us 50-year-olds who are ready for their next chapters. True inspirations, both of you. Thank you, Tiffany. But it's true. What?
I said, Tiffany, do you want to take over the fields?
She'd be good at it. She's really good at stuff. Like, she's very friendly. But yeah, I think that we all have to remember that whether we realize it or not, so often we are an inspiration to the woman standing next to us, and the woman that paved the way in front of us is helping. And sometimes that woman that's in front of us is younger than us, and is reminding us of who we are and that we are capable. And so I appreciate you being in my life. I appreciate your husband being in, our lives, and, you know, for all that you're doing for creating a safe space for people to go and spend time and reconnect with themselves and nature, and, doing all the things. So I am highly impressed. Go follow her, thefieldsofmichigan.com, for your reservations. Check out, on Instagram as well, the Fields of Michigan. And if you're interested in franchising, reach out to Irene and ask her by way of email or messenger, because she's going to start franchising the field, one in every state. Are you sticking with female owned? I would personally.
It's not to exclude males. It's really not, because I'm married to one. I have five brothers. I just think that I think it would be very disruptive to the community of girls. If I think that we would be better as a unit of 50 girls marching than it would be if we didn't. And we have a natural, I don't have to teach hospitality. We're not talking metrics. And some of the metrics that naturally my husband wants to talk about, I'm like, meh. Yeah. We're not measuring that.
Right.
How do you measure joy? We're not doing that. And I don't want to get in that discussion. And so I'm like, you know what? I naturally can get a girl there. It's innate. We've been groomed for it. All I need to teach her, really not teach her, take off her shoulders, is some of the things that she shouldn't be doing, because what she's best doing is cutting a piece of pie.
Yeah.
Like walking by with a warm smile. It's just like, that's what she's best doing. And she knows her neighborhood, and she knows her friends, and she knows her community. And that's why people travel. They want a little slice of that.
Yeah, I love that so much. Well, thank you so much. Founder of Fun, founder of the Fields of Michigan in South Haven, Michigan. Check her out. I appreciate you being here, Irene. Stick around after I say goodbye, but check her out. Thanks so much, Irene. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to connect on a more personal level, head over to MeredithWillits.com or on Instagram @MeredithWithAY for behind-the-scenes footage and outtakes. Please subscribe and come back each week for more Meredith with a Y. Thanks again for listening. Cheers.